The Victorian state election is due to be held in November, which means state politics is heating up. It means we can see political parties, especially those who are not currently in power, begin to put their policy positions forward in the hunt to win the election. It has recently emerged that a Conservative branch to the Liberals is pushing for changes that have been likened to conversion therapy. Such changes include allowing patients to be counselled out of identifying as transgender, discouraging medical practices such as gender reassignment surgery and puberty blockers on the grounds of them being unsafe, and banning the Safe Schools program from operating in Victoria. While none of this has become official party policy yet, it is up to Matthew Guy to wrangle this faction in the lead up to the election. With Liberal pre-selection yet to occur, many more moderate Liberals are swaying away from taking a strong stance on these policy pushes in order not to rock the boat and to protect their position. Today I interviewed Sally Goldner from Transgender Victoria to discuss the validity and consequences of such a policy agenda. So, Sally Goldner, thank you for joining us today on the program.
Oh, look, an absolute pleasure, because it's a pretty important topic to talk about to make sure this gets, well, nipped in the bud very quickly.
Absolutely. So many of the legislative pushes by the faction of the Victorian Liberals go against medical best practice. How disappointing is it to see such policy being pushed in 2018?
Look, it's almost at a point of beyond disbelief that anyone would push conversion therapies when you look at various parts of Australia, and over the last few days, Hawaii in the US is looking at actually banning them. And you just think, why on earth, particularly when the Liberal Party is linked to professionals and would have easy access to health professionals, it really defies any degree of logical rationality. Having said that, I can understand people's feelings and emotions of anger and disbelief, etc., when they would have heard about it, because rest assured, I was the same.
So they are calling for counselling someone out of gender transitioning to be something that's pushed if the patient requests it. Do you think any patient would request this?
I severely doubt it, unless they were under extreme pressure from family, and that might be due to lack of understanding for whatever reason. Religion could be one possibility, or just plain lack of knowledge, or to use the term youth phobia, that, in inverted commas, you're too young to know, which of course we know is not accurate. So I can't see how a young person, if they, let's say, were told, okay, relax, what do you want, would say, oh no, I don't really need to transition, I want to be counselled, in inverted commas again, counselled out of it. Yeah, I can't see that happening.
Okay, and this faction of the Liberals is also calling upon puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones and gender reassignment surgery to be labelled as unsafe and irreversible. Is there any validity to this claim?
No, look, since the puberty delaying medication was first in Australia and a bit earlier in the Netherlands, the overwhelming benefits have been huge. There's been follow-up studies on the first group through, all very happy. There's been independent ethical reviews which say it is going to hurt young trans and gender diverse people more if they don't get the blockers and keep going rather than if they do. And the physical and psychological benefits are overwhelming of the blockers and subsequent treatments. I mean, you only have to look at, to use the public examples, people like Georgie Stone in Australia to see that. Jazz Jennings overseas, you've got some amazingly happy, productive, creative, intelligent people getting on with their life. All other things being equal, give or take, with the same chance of achieving their potential as the broader cisgender population. So why on earth anyone would advocate to stop puberty-delaying medication and supporting in the accurate way people would be beyond me, particularly again when you've got all the medical bodies as well in Australia and around the world saying that, first conversion therapy is totally unhelpful, and going down the puberty blocker and further path is a really good thing.
Lastly, there are calls to reinsert man and woman in the place of the sexual orientation and gender identity in the Commonwealth Sex Discrimination Act. How damaging could this reversal be for those who have benefited from the change?
Oh, absolutely damaging, and also totally confuses sexual orientation and gender identity with biological sex. So clearly the people proposing it don't even know what they're talking about. I'd also add that the Liberal Party supported adding gender identity, sexual orientation and intersex status to federal anti-discrimination law in 2013. So it's a pretty bizarre backflip within 5 years from that faction. But the honest answer, and I will give a trigger warning here for transphobia and violence, but I think this has got to be mentioned. Please, of course, if it's distressing, contact QLife, including Switchboard or Lifeline, or talk to someone. But prior to 2000, when there was no state anti-discrimination protection, we had stories of assault and attempted murder on trans people in workplaces. That's how dangerous it is. And even with the law, which also not only covers employment but provision of goods and services, the situation is similar in our public hospital system. So without that, you know, safety net, people would really fall off the cliff. So, it really could put someone's life at risk on many levels, no question. So it would be a silly proposal. I think, though, the thing that we would need to keep in mind to change the federal law would mean getting it through the Senate, and the chance of a Senate majority, given a current Senate or likely future Senate, makes it unlikely. All the same, these sorts of, you know, bizarre, extreme ideas that have been put up, and I have no hesitation using those words, let's just nip them in the bud at the earliest opportunity. And I think the one other thing I want to add is that whilst it's great that Trent Zimmerman has, from the Liberal Party, come out condemning them, it's a bit of a worry that it seems to fall down to the gay Liberals and one or two allies, like a Warren Inch, to keep doing this sort of thing. And I think the Liberals need to sit down with rainbow communities and families and hear the truth very, very urgently.
Wow, thank you so much for joining us today, Sally.
Look, it's a pleasure to be on SYN. I wish it was a more pleasant topic to talk about, but, we've obviously got to, form a very solid line against this sort of, and as someone who's been on the receiving end of an element of conversion therapy, I'll call it for what I see it as, we have to form a very solid sandbank against this sort of torture and brainwashing and, this attack on our young people who are just, who are absolutely amazing. So, at least we've got a chance to talk about it. And thank you, as always, SYN.
Thank you for your time today. It is considered that acceptance and understanding of transgendered people is growing. For this reason, this policy push represents a major setback for the trans community and its allies. As Sally Goldner highlighted, there are real and serious consequences of such policy. However, it is also the reason such policy is unlikely to be successful and could be damaging to the Liberals' election campaign. The policy will be debated later this month at the party's annual state council meeting. If this story has upset you in any way or brought up any issues for you, please contact Beyond Blue on 1300 224636, Kids Helpline at 1800 55 1800, or Lifeline on 13 11 14.